Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's get this started here.
Welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we're studying the whole Bible according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The Bible's on way, 2 Timothy 2:15, and we're excited for another day in which you have joined us live, and ones that are watching us through our internet ministries. We welcome you, and we're just excited once again to have this day. Really a beautiful day out, so it's good to see your smiling faces and all. We're going to sing page 308, Higher Ground. We're going to sing all verses, Higher Ground. That's a good blessing there. We're in lesson three in the study of Genesis. And if you've been following along, this is the third lesson. So I'm like, whoa, we're already in lesson three. We got a long way to go. I always tell people we got between now and the catching away. So we might as well take our time, enjoy it, and just study the Word of God. Last lesson, we left off about, and we talked about four institutions. And these four institutions are going to be very, very important to understand how we study the Word of God and how we study the book of Genesis. You remember what they were? What's the first institution, God-ordained institution?
Marriage?
That's two.
Family?
That's three.
Volition?
Volition, very good. Verse one of free will, volition. God will never, ever, ever, ever violate your free will. He did not violate Adam's. And if he violates your free will, that's not a good thing. You know what I mean? That so he gives you a choice to understand him. He gives you a choice to choose. Okay? And many of us choose poorly. We choose wisely and that type of thing. Second one is marriage between a man and a woman. Third is family. That's that brings the stability to marriage. And then the fourth is government, human government. Human government. God ordained government to protect those institutions. And you have, that's nationalism, by the way. And you have to have boundaries. You have to become a nation, a country. So that was last week. And today, Genesis chapter 1, the first verse. Verse is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, the very first verse is probably one of the most intense sentences that you can think of. How would you begin the Bible? You ever thought about that? What would Walt's version say? What would Leon's, what Howard, you talk, what Barb's version would say? I don't know if you ever thought about that or not. And it says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And those 10 words, he sums up all the five elements of science and phenomena. The five elements of science are, do y'all know what they are? I'm sure you probably do if I'm going to tell you what they are. Time, space, motion, matter, and energy. That's the five elements that science you will use. Okay? How do you say? Well, let's move on a little bit. So, time, in the beginning. That's time. Space, heaven. Motion, he created. Matter, the earth. Energy, God created, the Spirit of God moved. It's all right there. Everything that you could think of, everything that man, human viewpoints will throw at you is found in them in those verses. Modern science does not get any further than that. And that's all the basics are right there. This is one of the reasons why people hate the Bible so much. Because you can pick out, you can pinpoint everything you want to know right there. And because the very first verse attacks their philosophy and religion. The very first verse destroys the six philosophy and religions that favorites ideals of men. You know, man can think of all kinds of stuff, can't he? You know, have you ever thought about dinosaurs? Can you find the word dinosaur in your Bible? It's not in there. But yet, people don't. Some people says that they never was there. Some people says, how did they die? That type of thing. I know when you go out there and you dig up bones, and they've dug up bones and they find a shoulder this big. And they take that shoulder and they build something off of that. You know, down home where I'm from in the Virginia area, they found a woolly mammoth. And that type of thing. They find mastodons here in Ohio. That type. And there's a little distinction between the two. And you talk about giants and stuff like that. There's some giants as big as tall as, from my understanding, was tall as cedar trees, a Lebanon. They grew 150 feet. And I was talking with a brother last night. We was talking a little bit about this. And I'm like, if a giant was 150 feet, they probably had some animals, some toys, dinosaurs. they had their own animals, but I don't want to get off on that. But the thing, the very first verses destroys the sixth philosophy. One, atheism. You know what atheism is? A disbelief or lack of belief in the existence of God or gods. What does the verse do? There is God right in the middle of it. God is there. He is present. Polytheism. I pronounced that right. The belief in or worship of more than one God. In the beginning, one God, one eternal creator. That's why when I talk to people all the time, they say, well, I believe in God. My next question is to them is, which God are you talking about? And some of them are like, well, there's gods in the Bible. And that you become a God. And you'll find out here a little bit, very easy to do. Then there's pantheism. God and his creation are the same, but not in that verse. God is here. He creates heaven over there, earth over there. He is separated from his creation. Materialism, doctrine of that nothing exists except matter, and that movements and modification. This verse says matter was created. Then there's evolution, the process of which different kinds of living organism are thought to have developed and diversified from earlier forms during the history of the earth. That verse says God created what? The heaven and earth. That old little thing saying, once it was a tadpole swimming in the sea, then he become a monkey with swinging a tree, and then he become a man with a PhD. That's evolution. But we now understand that it's de-evolution. What it does, it brings you right back to the mud puddle. And that's what they want you to be. Then you have fatalism, the belief that all events are predetermined and therefore inevitable. That verse indicates God has an active interest in his creation. He creates. He does not just say what it will be. Okay, sirrah, sirrah. He don't say that. He has a purpose. And you'll find in the philosophy of the education systems in Europe and America is based on those ideas. And Genesis 1:1 flat out contradicts that. And people hate that when you bring that up. It says, in the beginning, God created the
heavens.
What?
Heaven.
Yeah.
Not heavens.
Right.
It's heaven and earth. This is why men don't like the Bible. There's five elements of science. I'll go back over them. Time, in the beginning. Two, space, the heaven. Three, motion, he created. Four, matter, the earth. Energy, Spirit of God moved. The philosophy of man I just mentioned to you. God presence, polyism, one God, pantheism, God separated from his creation. Materialism says matter was created. Evolution, God created. Fatalism, God has an active interest in creation. In the beginning, go to John 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. That is the introduction to the whole Bible, guys, and the introduction to all history, because the very verse marks the boundaries between eternity and time. In the beginning, that is the beginning of time, in the beginning of creation. Notice in John 1:1, verse just like Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the what? Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made what?
Flesh,
and dwelt among us. The Word is the second person of the Godhead. And do you know who that is?
Jesus
Christ. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, Christ. When the beginning began, he was already there. He was with God the Father. He was God the Son. And he was with the beginning, with the God the Holy Spirit. We don't always say, but some of us understand, before the world began, there was a grace conference between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They got together. First grace conference over there. You know, that type of thing. So they got together. And there's only two persons of the Godhead, if you notice. And all the things that were made by him. He is the active, manifest person of the Godhead. What are you dealing with in get Titus 1 and Ephesians 1? You can drop John. When you're dealing with Genesis chapter 1, the boundary line between eternity past, when there was just the Godhead at the time, and time, it is important that you understand that boundary, because when you come to Apostle Paul, Paul takes you back behind that boundary. And this is one of the questions we talked about before, which came first, the mystery program or the prophecy program? And I hope you'll be able to see something here in a minute. Here is creation of the earth in the beginning, way back over here on this time chart, right? In the beginning, God created the what? That is Genesis 1:1. And before that is eternity in the Godhead, and after the beginning, you have human history, and you have time. Genesis 1:1 is the boundaries lie between them. He says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. I probably ain't said that enough to you, have a, okay? But it is. That verse is the introduction is to what you're going to read in the Bible. In the beginning. You know, Stan wrote a book about twofold purpose of God. And he makes a point, why would God say that in the beginning he created the heaven and earth? Why wouldn't he just say he created all things like John 1 says?
Because he had a plan for both.
That's a good answer, ain't it? I'm good with it. But the reason is the way his introduction to you in the Bible. The Bible is going to be about two things. As Howard just mentioned, two things. The twofold purpose manifested in the Word of God. One purpose is focus where? On the earth. The second is purposes of where? Focus where? In the heavens. And then the thing that God speaks about, talks about, preaches about to man on earth. That's one purpose. And he places that man on earth to be a king. You ever notice why your farmers are big? He put Adam to till the ground. And he taught his kids to till the ground. And when Cain killed Abel, the thing that Cain knew about, probably done it better than anybody else, was till the ground. And the mark that God put up on Cain was, you're no longer going to be able to till the ground. That devastated him. It has to do with Christ coming and establishing a kingdom on earth. It has to do with man's responsibility to win the earth back to God and to establish God's authority and glory in the earth. Think about that a minute. What is you and I, the body of Christ, even though it's a different agency, what are we supposed to be doing today on this earth? Winning souls. Okay? And you think about the evilness that's going on out there. How are you going to take back? How is God going to win back the earth? He's got an agency for the earth. He's got an agency for the heaven, right? And I think about as long as we're here, should we help God proclaim the good news and help control this evilness in this world? I believe so. But you had eternity past over there. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit way over here. Okay? Then he talks about in the beginning, earth. And he talks about the time limit right through here. But also, where did Paul come in at right here? In this time, we can't close the chart up because we don't have enough arms.
The change of man.
Okay, the change of man, where change of man was right here? Where was Paul on this timeline?
Where?
Yes.
Was he up here in the beginning?
No.
Mm-hmm. No, he wasn't. So God also has a purpose from the heavens. And that purpose was one that the passage says goes back before Genesis 1:1. And he has a plan and a purpose and design that he has back before time. Titus chapter 1. You there? Mm-hmm. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. You know one thing God can't do?
Lie.
Lie. Amen. He can do everything else but lie. Promise since the world began. Is that what your Bible says?
Before
the world began, but hath in due times, verse 3, manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our God, our Savior. So when Jesus Christ committed to Paul the revelation of the mystery, he is not just telling Paul something he cooked up because it wasn't working in the prophetic program. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, Paul just advanced the gospel of Peter, James, and John because they had other things to do. No. He gave God the Father, through God the Son, gave Paul, through the Holy Spirit, information that he knew about before Genesis 1:1. This is exciting. You know, we talk about not being, boasting, not being beating our chest, but the body of Christ was thought up before the earth was thought up. That should excite you, that you was in something before God even planned this earth to be about. And he's telling Paul something he had planned in eternity past and now is revealing. He is now making it known. It is called his eternal purpose because it's something he purposed and planned to do in eternity past. Hey, you're part of a secret program. You're secret agents, man. You know, the CIA, FBI ain't got nothing on you guys. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. You're special. Well, I always say you're peculiar. I'm special, Ed. But anyway, the thing is, we all are special in this program. And it was not made known. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purpose in who? Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. Hey, he purposed this in himself, back way over here. Who did he tell it to?
Himself.
Yeah, that's good. He kept himself. He didn't tell Adam. He didn't tell Moses. He didn't tell Solomon, David, Satan, Daniel. What do we know? And you should have a verse pop right up in your head. What if he know? If Satan had known what God's purpose was with this mystery program, what would he have done?
He would have
Amen. You got it down. And that's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you show people this like, whoa, what are you talking about? If the God of this world would have known, the princess had known, what this mystery program that we're in today, that was hid in God before the foundations of the world, its purpose and intent, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Mm-hmm. Now, I tend to think that God would have made a provision that he's going to die. You know, death, burial, resurrection was coming down the line. No matter what, you can't get away from that. And he would not, I think eventually he would have exposed what's in the mystery program and Satan. But that's what the Bible says. Who's a liar from the beginning?
Satan.
You think he's still believing that lie?
Yeah.
You think he's got people in the pulpit teaching lies that this stuff?
Yeah.
You better believe he does. Repeatedly, Paul does that. Ephesians 3, Colossians 1, heaven and earth. He keeps it going back over to Genesis 1:1, and God was doing something before that and affects the whole thing now. When you come to Genesis 1:1, you will begin to have God reveal to you what his purpose and plans and his intents and his goals and program is. You read about his program for the earth until you come over to who? Peter, James, and John, right? No. You learn about his programs when you get to Paul. Then you read about his programs in heaven. And you find out why he kept it a secret until then. This is something new. This is something that people out there need to hear about. You know, you talk about talking with the lady and asking what gospel to preach, and she mentioned James. You know, he's in the found, that type of thing. People don't know. I recently posted that program, a little cartoon thing about the preacher has your head and he's unscrewing it and filling all his stuff in your brain. Okay? Don't be that guy. You take the word of God and you fill your mind. You have the mind. Once you're saved, you got the mind of Christ. Now, do we understand it all? No. I'll be the first one to tell you. I don't understand. But I can understand why it's not sometimes. You know, you look at the world, how it's accelerating so fast. I always talk about these dispensation, and this ain't a Bible term, but the age of acceleration. It seems like we're flying by. You know, it's funny, one of the memes I saw the other day, you remember when they talked to the people on the moon? What kind of phone did they have? President's talking. He's talking on the phone. You know, just, you know, you many of you don't know what you do, but the dials and all that stuff. But then you get in your cell phone now and you can't get signal. You can't even talk to anybody. You know, that's just a funny, but think about it. The technology that we use is as far advanced, but you can be so far advanced, it can be too far advanced that we don't know what's going on. God has a purpose for heaven and for earth. Genesis 1 is the introduction for the whole Bible, and it stands as a boundary between eternity and time. Creation, in which God's eternal purpose, both in heaven and in earth, is being accomplished. What is the main thing of your Bible? You remember what the main thing of your whole Bible is?
Authority, isn't it?
Authority over the entire universe. Sitting on a throne over the entire universe. And there's a struggle right now in that universe. And Satan blew a fuse and came down and corrupted 130 angelic beings. Who is the God of this world? But before he was the God of this world, he was the prince of power of the air. He corrupted 130 angels. So when you look at that blue skies, how beautiful it is, and then you look at stars above, how I'm worshiping them, that you should be worshiping them. Satan's controlling that. And by the way, the ones that didn't follow Satan, they're still up there in those positions. The ones that still follow Jesus Christ. They're under what you call it? Oppression. They're under authority. And then he comes to this earth. God comes to this earth and says, that's okay. I'm going to take somebody from dirt, make a man. And I'm going to give that man a prophet. He's going to be prophet, priest, and king of this earth. What does Satan do? Come right down here and say, hey, you can be like gods. That's what he says. Gods. And what did they do? They bowed down to him, gave him the deed to this earth, and he's the God of this earth. So God's got a plan for eternity. We today, as members of the body of Christ, we have the completed canon of scriptures. We have made known unto us the mystery of the Father's what? Will. We now know through the revelation given to Paul, God's secret purpose that he purposed in himself back over there. Way back over there. That's why when you come to Ephesians, it's advanced mystery truths. You're like, whoa. It's almost like, hey, when you're a young Christian, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, little Acts. Then you skip completely way over Paul and you end up over here in Hebrews. Oh, God planted, got to build a kingdom. Got to build a church. You ever notice that? None of you was a part of that. I'm just jokingly. We all was a part of that system at one time.
Jump all the way to Revelation. Man.
Yeah, great right there on judgment. But we now know through Revelation the purpose. And that is to bring everything in heaven and in earth, all positions of rank and authority that we'll study about next, you know, in the coming lessons, in the heavenly places and in the earth, and make Jesus Christ head over them all. Not only is he going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is also a head of a body. He's also a head of authority. And I challenge anybody listening, I challenge you sitting here today, if you can show me anywhere else in the scripture outside of Paul that Jesus Christ is a head of a body, a head of a church. Now you're talking about king of a nation. The book of Genesis is going to be an exciting book to study because it is the beginning of everything. And it's where it all begins. And you'll see on the basis of it laid out clearly as we go through the verses. Now, I'm going to run through this right quick before we end. The book of Genesis is the first book in you. What's the last book? What's the other word they use for Revelations?
Apocalypse.
Okay, you have Genesis and Apocalypse. Genesis is the book of beginning. What's the Apocalypse? The book of the what?
End.
The earth is created in 1:1. The earth passes away in Revelation 21:1. Satan's first rebellion. You get over there, Satan's last rebellion. The sun and moon and stars for earth's government. Sun and moon and stars connected with earth's judgment. Then you have sun is governing the day. That's what Genesis 1:6 is. What? Guess what happens over there? There's no need for sun. Then you have darkness called night. Guess what over there? No night there. Then you have waters called seas. Guess what happens over there?
No seas.
No more sea. That's always strange to me. He talks about the sea, giving up the dead, and all that stuff, and then there's no more sea. So what does that tell you? Think the earth going to come back together?
It's not going to do, but
there's no water.
It's the upper sea.
Sea of glass is what?
Sea of the glass.
Well, wait a minute. Before Peleg, the earth was together, and there was four rivers. Be no earth. There wasn't no seas. Then when the days of Peleg come, they started separating. And the seas up there. So that could be I don't know what you're talking about, the glass.
The
lake. What about the lake down here below us? The lake of fire is going to be out there forever. So anyway, that could be another good study someday, huh? Well, we might get to that. A river for earth's blessings. Then what do you get over there? A river for the new earth. There's one river flows out of the throne, and it's going to water everything. 12 trees, that type of thing. Man's in God's image. Man headed by one Satan's image over there. Then you have the entrance of sin. And over there you have the development and the end of sin. Over here you have the curse pronounced. Over there there's no more curse. Death entered. Over there's no more death. Cherubims first mentioned in connection with man. Cherubims finally mentioned with the connection of man. Man driven out of Eden. Guess what? Man gets over here. It gets restored back on this earth in Eden. A tree of life is guarded. Guess what is going to happen over there? You get to the right to the tree. Sorrows and sufferings entered. No more sorrow. Man's religion, art, science restored for man's enjoyment apart from God. You ever notice that stuff out there that people's doing? It's sickening what our family's doing. It's sickening what the world's doing. But it's for their enjoyment. The things that pertaining to, well, I'll say Hollywood and all these movies and stuff. You ever watch some of that stuff? But you ever watch some of that stuff and say, hey, that stuff's happening right now? That type of thing. Then you says, over there, man's religion, luxury, art, science, in their full glory, judged and destroyed by God. No more about me, that type of thing. Then you have Nimrod, the great rebel and king, and hidden anti-God, and founder of Babylon. Over there you have the beast and the great rebel, and the king manifested anti-God, and Reviver of Babylon, Mystery of the Great. The flood of God destroyed the evil generation. A flood of Satan destroys the elect generation. All this is stuff coming together over between there. The bow, the token of God's covenant on earth. The bow betokened God's remembrance of his covenants with the earth over here. You have Sodom and Egypt, the place of corruption and temptation. Sodom and Egypt, a spiritual representation over there. Confederacy against Abraham's people overthrown over here. Conspiracy, a confederacy against Abraham's seed is over here thrown. Over and over, marriage, the first Adam. Marriage, the last Adam. The bride sought from Abraham's son, Isaac, and found. A bride made ready and brought for Abraham's son. Two angels acting for God on his behalf as a people. Two witnesses acting as God on behalf of his people. A promise of a seed to possess the gate of his enemies. Promise of seed and possessing, coming into possession. Man's dominion ceased and Satan's began. Satan's dominion ended and man's restored. See, what God's going to do is he put man on this earth for a reason. The old serpent causing sin, suffering, and death. The old serpent bound for 1,000 years. The doom of the old serpent pronounced over here. The doom of the old serpent executed over there. Sun and moon and stars associated with Israel. Sun and moon and stars associated again with Israel. So as a comparison, as you go through this, and it's going to be a good study, and I hope you enjoy it. That as we go through this and break it down, we probably won't go verse for verse, but there's some things that might pop up and we can look at some things, as you know, when we do a study. And we appreciate the curriculum at the Grace School of Bible, but we know that Genesis is a very important book. And that first verse in that Bible, it settles it with me. Yeah. In the beginning God created. And the things that people will say about it, and you know, you just look at them, say, I know where you're at. You know, it surprised me that nothing surprises me anymore. It just discourages you that, you know, you think about people and what they know, and it seems like they just forgot it. And you know why they forget it?
They're not renewing their mind.
I was talking to a brother a while ago, and he says, hey, I've been listening to your Ephesians studies a couple hours in the morning and Matthew studies a couple hours in the afternoon. He goes, oh, I forget what he says. You're settled. You're
taking space on my mind.
Charge your rent.
Yeah, he's going to charge me rent because I'm taking up oxygen in his brain. I'm like, oh, you're filling that vacuum. Don't start charging me. But anyway, we appreciate you that are listening, and let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the things you've given us. We thank you for the blessings that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Word of God rightly divided. And we thank the ones that are listening, that continue to listen and grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until next week, may God bless you.